Down to the river. That's where we're going here. Absolutely. Good morning. I'm going to start over here for a reason, because you may wonder, why in the world did they sing We Three Kings when it's January 7th? Well, there's a reason for that, right? We can talk about the 12th day of Christmas, and January 6th is usually thought of as the day of the wise men. So there is a reason why we had this song. And, however, that first line, there's a lot of inaccuracies in the first line of the song. First of all, we don't know how many wise men, so we didn't necessarily know three kings. There weren't three. They weren't kings, but they probably were from the Orient, from the East, so at least that's right. It talks about bearing the gifts. You may wonder, why does it get sad all of a sudden? It talks about myrrh is mine, it's bitter perfume, breathes a life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying. What's all that about? Well, myrrh was used to embalm people for burial. So there's an understanding of these wise men. Who that baby was going to be destined to be is someone who would die. A baby born to die? How would you like to go to the children's hospital and say, oh, well, you know, guess what? This child's going to die later, and it's a horrible death. Well, thank you for letting me know about that, right? But here, it's a good death on Good Friday for the sins of the world. And we praise our Lord and our Father, Heavenly Father, for sending Jesus. So, and it used to be that we used to preach from what's called a lectionary. Remember those days? Where we had the assigned readings, and there is a good sense of church of seasons of the church year. But I used to preach this text, actually, probably about the third Sunday in Advent. Well, this year I preached on the wise men back in December, and now I'm preaching on John the Baptist. I go, that's not right, but actually, chronologically it is, because this is when John the Baptist was 30 years old. So anyway, we are going to the river. You know, I remember when I moved out here, what a difference it was from St. Louis and before that Illinois. Holy cow, I came out here and it was cactus, and what the heck, and rocks, no green grass, no shit, huh? Yeah, I know. Well, I thought the desert was, it's either you had all like sand like Sahara. My picture of a desert really was sand and like the dunes, you know, and that was it. And we all wore hip scarves and the Lawrence of Arabia type of thing. So that's what I grew up thinking a desert was. And it's like, well, it's a little green. It sure is rocky. And it sure is hard to plant those queen palms. Oh, my goodness. I'll never forget trying to in my shovel. Ugh. Oh, what? Well, that must be a bad place. I'll try digging over here. Oh, broke three shovels. And we go, what in the heck? I missed that good black soil in the Midwest, right? So anyway, that was quite an interesting experience trying to get used to the desert. It took us a while, for sure. But now, if I go back, I'm freezing, and we won't go into that down anymore about weather. We'll forget all that stuff. But anyway, my point is that when they talk about going to rivers, the rivers like Rio Salado or going up north, tubing. I never went tubing. I don't know. I've heard people dying. I've heard there's snakes out there. So I was not into that in the Midwest. But the river in the Midwest was muddy and yucky, and nobody was excited about going to the river. You maybe caught carp there, and you would fry up a carp, but nobody made a big deal about going to the river. But out here, it's like, what is the deal with the rivers? Well, I was surprised to see how clean they were, how refreshing, and actually it felt good to get in that water. And like, wow, this is a little different. Well, we're going to the river for two Sundays here in our text, right? We're going to go there today, and we're going to come back to the river next week. So y'all come back now next week, all right? Because we're going back to the river, all right? Come back to that river. Because the river, going to the river, and I'm looking right at Seal because there's a song she likes, right? And it talks about going up to the mountain where we go and finding refreshing in the mountain streams, and a great song, right? And you'd probably recite, I can't think the words right now. It just kind of went bye-bye. But anyway, the Bible talks about not only mountains but rivers. And what are rivers? Well, rivers bring water, they bring refreshing, they bring life. If you don't have water, you're in big trouble, right? And spiritually, without the rivers of the Holy Spirit, without Jesus, who is the living water, we are in big trouble. We're all dried up. That was another thing about rivers. When I lived in Ahwatukee, they had the Agua Fria River. No river. They got this big bridge over nothing. Why do they have a big bridge? Well, I found out when we had our rains, real quickly, why you needed that big bridge, and then it would become a river, and a mighty river at that. But God is the river of living water that continues, that refreshes us over and over and over. And the only time it stops is when we pull away and we say, I'm tired of the river, and we just decide to live in the wilderness, the spiritual wilderness of our own lives, where there's no refreshment, no life. So anyway, having said all that, let's go to the river, okay? You ready? Now, when you go to the river, I found that out. Another thing, too, coming from the Midwest, we just hop in the car and go. Well, that's not a wise idea when you're living in the desert. It's 110 degrees. You got to make sure you have water, right? You got to have all the essentials for survival. I didn't think it'd be a big deal just getting in the car, a matter of survival, life and death, going out in the desert. But obviously, it's a whole different world than the Midwest, right? Completely different. But in getting ready for any trip, it takes a lot of preparation. Don't you hate? I hate getting ready for a trip because I'm always going to feel like I'm going to forget something. Like when I forgot my laptop back in Illinois and had to go back and get it. And I was like, oh no, I forget something. Well, it's important to prepare and to pack and get things ready. And John the Baptist here, actually John the Baptizer, it's not his denomination. That's not where it came, you know, he's not a Southern Baptist. But anyway, when John the Baptist came on the scene, he was the first prophet in hundreds of years. There's been no prophet from God, very quiet, and here comes this man who looked kind of strange. And the Bible talks about how strange he looked and even makes a point of it. It says, now John wore a garment of camel's hair. Ooh, that just makes me itchy to think of that, right? That scratchy like mohair. I hate mohair because it's... Anyway, camel hair is not like a fashion design statement, right? Camel hair. Ugh. A leather belt around his waist. And his food. Now, here's what he had to eat. Locusts and wild honey. Honey sounds good. Locusts. Kind of crunchy, I guess. I don't know. I've heard that there's a ballpark, I think, in San Francisco. They serve crickets. You can have fried crickets. How's that sound? No, thank you. Oh, that's garlic flavored. Has some flavoring to it. No? Okay. Well, anyway, John the Baptist was out in the desert, right? And some people came only out of curiosity. You gotta see this guy. I mean, have you heard about, well, there's nothing to do. We're off today. Okay, let's go out to the river and let's just get entertained. And some people just come to church to get entertained. Some people come out of curiosity. Well, let's just see what it's about. Well, it's Sunday morning. Well, got nothing else better to do. There's no, my team lost. I guess I might as well go to church now. I heard that on sports radio. They said, what are we going to do now that our team's out on Sunday mornings? And I feel like calling in and saying, how about go to church, you pagans? That'll give you something to do. You know, our world has really changed, right? It really, really has. But anyway, it's crazy. So we got to get prepared. And John the Baptist was called not just to be an odd spectacle. Look at that guy. He's kind of rough, tough, looking, tough dude. It was not, his whole ministry and mission was not to focus on himself. He was one of the most humble men. He was totally preoccupied. Now, if I'm preoccupied with something, I have tunnel vision. You know, I'm thinking about this, focusing on that. Have anybody else relate with that, maybe? Or pointing the finger here. But it's sometimes it's difficult. And at work, we've got this going on, and someone's trying to talk to me. I'm on the phone. That never works. I can't get straight what was said on the phone and what this person said. I missed both things. But anyway, it's hard to be focused on one thing for me and for some. Others say, no. You have to multitask. If you're a mom, you don't have the choice. Well, anyway, all this was John the Baptist was so preoccupied on one person and one thing, God and the kingdom of God, period. He didn't care about anything else. In fact, in the Gospel of John, it talks about the fact that he talks about that, well, we'll get to that next week probably. He says, but Jesus must increase and I must decrease. I must decrease. In the day and age when athletes are clamoring for credit as to who's responsible for the New England Patriots and who's talking to whom and who gets the credit for their empire and other teams, everybody's grabbing for the glory, right? In business, even churches, which is really sad. Who gets the glory? Well, who gets the glory anyway? God should. We are here to glorify God. And John the Baptist was focused on giving God the glory. So he's called into this weird ministry. Can you imagine a call document for John the Baptist? Let's see, you won't have a church building, you'll be in the desert. Desert ministry, well, that sounds exciting, okay. No building out there, though, no air conditioning. And your clothes, though, there won't be a stipend for clergy attire. Just try the camel hair. And can you imagine, and you're going to be reaching all kinds of people, and you're going to have people try to kill you. In fact, you'll lose your head over your ministry, because your life will be in danger. And you won't be number one. It won't be about you. You will be the servant. And you're only getting somebody else ready for their ministry. That's all your only job. Most people go, no, thank you. But John the Baptist. said, "Here am I," like Isaiah, "send me." I'm glad to do it. Because remember John the Baptist, when he was in the womb of his mother Elizabeth, he heard about Jesus, heard the good news of Jesus in the womb, and he leaped for joy. So he was pretty well connected to God even before day one of his birth, right? And that's pretty amazing. So here is Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, out there getting people prepared. In fact, it says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" First of all, is the kingdom of heaven still in hand today? Is it close? Some people feel like God is so far away because they've moved themselves or they have so many religious conceived notions in their head about what it means to be close to God. It's not about us. It's about what Jesus does inside us and how he changes us. It's not about what we do to change, right? So the kingdom of heaven is here. He is very close. And if we're not in the kingdom, this is a great place to be, to get close to God and feel his presence and be part of God's kingdom. It's all about the kingdom of heaven. We've talked a lot about this in 2017, haven't we? Just a lot. Whether it be the jail ministry, CR. You guys went crazy over that song. You like that song, Chainbreaker, don't you? Wow, you guys went nuts. But why is that? Why do you like that song so much? Yeah, absolutely. It talks about the powerful change that only Jesus Christ can give. Only he can do it. And the whole point of all this is simply to prepare for Jesus. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent means you're going this direction and you change and you go the opposite direction. It's like the others, maybe a couple weeks ago I was driving and I felt, I was out, way, way out in the Package Junction. It's been a long time since I've been out there, had a client out there, and I felt like I was right and GPS was wrong. Because sometimes my GPS has been wrong. And it has, I don't know when to trust it, when to go on my own. So this time I said, "No, I've been out here before. I feel like I'm going east. I don't think this is right." I got stubborn. I kept going and going, and I was wrong. And I kept going farther and farther from my appointment, and I'm going to be late, and I hate being late because then it throws everything else the rest of the day. But I was stubborn. I go, "No, I'm going to go to..." And then finally, it dawned on me, "All right, just admit you're wrong, Gary, to yourself, and turn around and go back, because your GPS was right this time." So I had to change direction, find a place to do it, and go on the correct road. I've noticed recently on I-17, because of all the people driving, going the wrong way, that now they have these big red signs that say, "Wrong way." And that's what John the Baptist is saying. He's putting up a flashing red sign to people saying, "You're going the wrong way. And you need to get ready because God is going to come on the scene. Jesus is going to be your Savior, your Messiah. And unless you're ready for it, you're going to miss out." And so many people missed out then and missed out today with Jesus. We all excited about the Lord and feeling God's presence, and others going, "Ho-hum, what's the big deal? I don't get it." Well, they need the Holy Spirit to get it. And so what John the Baptist is doing is preparing the way, and says here, "For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah." By the way, a little commercial here. We're starting a new Bible class today at 10:30 on the prophecies of Christ in the Old Testament. It is fascinating going through the Old Testament, all the prophecies about Jesus that are in the Jews' own Bible. It's right there. Jesus is all over the Old Testament. And in fact, one verse is about John the Baptist in the Old Testament, and it's this: "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.'" So it's prophesied in Isaiah that there would be a prophet who would come right before the Messiah, who would be like Elijah. And Elijah was a pretty tough character out there in the desert as well, right? A man mighty in his work, in his ministry. And there's a lot of similarities. But Jesus is always the greater than. Remember the greater than sign in math, right? Greater than. Jesus is the greater than any other prophet ever was or ever will be. He is the greater one because he's God, right? And so John the Baptist was the last prophet of all these prophets in the past, Isaiah and Jeremiah and all of them. He's the last one because then the greater one, God, will come in the flesh. And all the shadows, like in Hebrews it talks about in the Old Testament, now the light has come. Jesus Christ is the light. He's the light of the world. And so John the Baptist is like the moon. Does the moon have any light of its own? It only reflects from the sun. John the Baptist said, "Any light that comes through me that is seen by others, it has to be 100% Jesus and not of me." But it's so easy for us to start looking inward, but it's not an inside job. It's right. It's looking up, not looking inward to fix our problems and all that type of thing. So the prophet prophesied, there will be one coming with a voice. prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And so then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan were going out to him. And it was about 20 miles from Jerusalem. The Jordan River is about 70 miles long. So many people came out to see him and were going out to him. It says, and they were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. John the Baptist didn't say, you know, this is not a good marketing thing. We don't want to talk about sin. Many churches today don't talk about sin. We've talked a lot about that. They want to attract people. And they say, well, that would offend people. If we have a cross, we talk about sin, we talk about confessing our sin. That's not real popular. And so they throw that out. But without confession of sin, we get clogged inside spiritually. If we allow things to fester, sins in our own lives, pretty soon we kind of lose that appetite for God and lose that joy, lose that light. The light kind of goes down, right? Have you seen people that are all excited and bright-eyed and rearing to go in jail or here, and then kind of see the gradual the light go out of their eyes? And it's so sad. It's like the fire going down or the candles burning down. And it's so sad as leaders when you work so hard to reach out to people and then to see them go back to the darkness. And so John the Baptist is trying to get people to live in the light and confess the dark parts of their lives, the sin in their lives, we all have, right? So we can really receive Jesus. If we don't see we're a sinner, why need a Savior from sin, right? It's like, oh, I'm fine, thank you. That's your thing. Well, my son Jeremy's finding out that some people aren't excited about Jesus as much as he is. And he can't understand. He says, Dad, I don't get it. I go, well, Jeremy, remember all those days when I'd be preaching or we'd have worship and you'd be like this, you know, and you weren't real excited about it. Now you can't stop worshiping God. It's the whole thing of perspective, right? And a change of the heart. And that's what John the Baptist is getting at, having a change of heart. And so he was baptizing people, and people were coming and were legitimately confessing their sins. Have you ever had a sense of conviction? Oh, man, this sermon's about me. Who told Pastor Rick about me? How did he know? Has he been reading my emails? Like, wow, it really hits, right? Like, oh, I needed that. Or maybe you get an elbow in the ribs. This is for you. Are you listening? You know. But the Holy Spirit does more than give us a jab on the ribs. He gives us a... He comes in and he strikes the heart and the soul. Because he loves us, right? And all this is out of love, repentance, and some strong words about not having God in our life. Well, there's the crowd that's there for the right reason, and there's another group of people there for the wrong reason. Verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers!" Oh, boy. There goes the PR, the outreach department going, "Oh, no, don't say that. You brood of snakes! Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not presume to say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that doesn't bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire." Hell, right? How far? This is what's going to happen, you guys. And did he care about his reputation or his job status if he was going to say things like that? He didn't care. He was on fire. His hair was on fire. He did not care. And a prophet does not care. They have this divine obstinance and stubbornness in a good way and persistence. This is God's word, and I don't care what anybody else says about it, because this is God and this is his word, and what is true is true. What is false, and the truth needs to be heard. And they have this fire inside of them, like Jeremiah talks about, the word being like a hammer, like a fire, and they can't stop it. You know, it just comes over the prophet. And because they really care about lost souls, where people will spend eternity. And so John the Baptist had some strong words so that these people could repent as much as anybody else. He talks about the axe is ready, you know, and God's going to chop down the trees. When we moved to Arizona, I thought, oh, it'd be nice. I think I'm going to plant tomatoes and sweet corn and all the things and sweet peas. And I remembered our wonderful garden we had in Illinois and Missouri, and oh, it was so much fun. Well, I had no fun planting a garden here. First of all, I planted at the wrong time of the year. You know, like May. Well, I usually plant in May, April. Actually, April. Yeah, it sure is hot out here. Well, water these plants a lot. And I planted the wrong crops at the wrong time. But then I thought, okay, can't beat them, join them. I'll plant a lemon tree and an orange tree. If that's what grows out here, then that'll work. I waited so long for one fruit. Like one, oh, man, I was like a little kid. Oh, boy, look at this. And then it fell off before it ripened. It just died, shriveled up and died. And that's what happened to people's faith. And John the Baptist was warning people, unless you're a healthy tree and you have good roots in God and you're bearing fruits or you're making a difference in the lives of people, what kind of purpose are you? You're not having a purposeful life at all. You're not living the life God called you to live, and you're wasting it all, right? Because we're not our own. We are God's. We're children of God. So John the Baptist was just warning, look, go down to the root. And sometimes we have to go to the root of the matter, whether it be in the jail ministry or here. What really is the problem? Well, it's usually a sin problem, right? A lot of times, and we have to get right with God and other people as well, relationships. So here comes the axe, cutting down those thrown into the fire. And he says this, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Do you see the contrast here? He's talking about the river. He's in the water. He's talking about fire. He's talking about the river and baptism for repentance and how important that is. But there's something even more important than the water, and that's the fire that's coming. So what is he talking about here? Well, he's saying, now I'm doing this baptism, and it's a different baptism than what Jesus is going to have. Because it's going to have a lot more power. This was just a baptism called John's baptism, a baptism for repentance, for people to get ready for Jesus Christ, get ready for the Holy Spirit. But now when we get baptized, well, you'll hear about that next week, I'm sure. It's a lot different, isn't it? It's a whole lot different. Things happen in baptism. Yes, girl. That's right, Mr. Romans, in Acts. It's right there, yeah. And they go, we never even heard of the Holy Spirit. What's all this about? And so John is saying, now this isn't the only thing here. I'm just getting you ready. This is just a little baptism for repentance, water only. But who is coming after John the Baptist? Jesus, right? Who is mightier than I, greater than all the other prophets, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And fire is be a negative thing in the Bible, as far as hell and destruction, but also can be a good thing, purifying, passion. So we call it the fuego de Dios, the fire of God, right? When we get that fire inside of us, and sometimes it's like, it's just overwhelming, and sometimes we're praying for people, I'll feel this heat, and it'll get hot, like, okay, who turned on the heat? Well, it was the Holy Spirit. It wasn't the thermostat here. It was God's thermostat, and God was up to something, and the fire of God was just overwhelming. And that's what John the Baptist is talking about, that Jesus will baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Baptizing, being baptized with the Holy Spirit, something means being filled up with the Holy Spirit. And we just do that once, and we talk a lot about that. Is that just a one-time deal? No. And sometimes churches get this all mixed up about baptism. They have certain rules and regulations, the way you baptize and all this kind of stuff. Or they go around and they just say, well, I think this is what happens. We really don't know totally how God works, but we know that He does work, and He brings people into His light, and I'm sure Pastor Rick will talk more next week about that. But just that this is leading, all of this is leading up to next Sunday. Again, I'm the setup man for you, because it's, there we go again. There we go, yep. So come back next Sunday, you hear? Yeah, this is a good idea. You've got to come back for part two, because this is getting ready, because guess who's coming on the scene next Sunday? Well, yes, Pastor Rick, but more than that, Jesus. Jesus is coming on the scene, and that's what Pastor Rick's going to talk about, because it's all about Jesus. As he used to always say to me, when he was on vacation, give him Jesus. First, I thought he'd say give him something else, but he said, give him Jesus. Give him, and that's what we all need, is Jesus, right? And that's what John the Baptizer is talking about here. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, and everything changes when the Holy Spirit comes in our life, right? When He, everything changes, everything about us, everything about our world, and it's just amazing when, right, Sandy? When good to see you, I'm glad you're feeling better. When God changes our lives, everything changes. What's that? The fire? No. Don't you try to poof it out. I'm going to let it shine. Right? I'm going to let it shine. Right? Amen. Only Him. And His winnowing fork is in His hand, and He will clear the threshing floor and gather its wheat into the barn, but the chaff He will burn with unquenchable fire. The winnowing fork is like a pitchfork where you'd get the wheat, right? and they didn't have threshing machines and harvesters and combines and all that, so they would throw the wheat into the air, the wind would blow the chaff out, and so all that was left in the pitchfork was the wheat, the good stuff. I mean, you don't want to have all the chaff and all that stuff, you know, that's worthless, and that just gets burnt. And so the strong words of John the Baptist here, the good fruit, the good harvest that we have in our lives, God stores it, He gathers it, He harvests it in our lives, but the other stuff is worthless. So how much in our life is worthless? It's just chaff. How much is the real grain? What kind of harvest do we have in our lives? Is there a harvest where there's good fruit and that we're making a difference in the lives of people? Because the parable of the sower talks about that God is planting the seed, or we're planting the seed of God's Word into the hearts of many people. Some get all excited, and they do a lot of things for God, but then they lose it. They lose that fire. Others will get all excited, and then all the cares of the world and worries and all that take over, and they choke the plant. But then Jesus talks about there are some that have a harvest, some 60-fold, some 100-fold, a bumper crop, and their lives are purposeful, and you can see a difference. Like the impact they have with people all around them. It changes them. They can't wait to be around that person because it's God inside them. It's not them. They just feel this light. They are attracted to the light because it's actually Jesus. It's not about us. It's not about us, right? Like Pastor Rick always says, God be the glory. Always. He gets the glory. He gets the glory. So in this new year, what are we going to do to give God glory like John the Baptist does? What are we going to do for Him? We have goals. We have ideas and all kinds of areas of our lives. What about God? Have you asked Him what your goals are for this new year? Because it may be like the wise men. They get led by a star and go 750 miles and find Jesus. And what an adventure. We talk about an exciting adventure of Jesus. It's quite a ride here, isn't it, Pastor? Like, can we foretell what's going to happen to us this year in our church? And we never know when God's going to lead us in a different direction, more jail ministries or whatever, what direction, but we have to be open to what God's going to say, what God's going to do. And so come back next week and hear about we'll go back to the river because we're only halfway done with the river, okay? So may God continue to bless us with His Spirit, and may we keep focusing on Jesus, who forgives us all those sins that talks about us confessing. He washes us clean like the snow, like Pastor Rick said. With the pure water. He refreshes us and cleanses us with His Spirit and with His love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.